Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome everyone to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with a relatively happy Jim Garrity. As we talked about on Friday, one of those teams in the Super Bowl had to lose, and well, that makes Jim happy, and part of me thinks that he's kind of happy that that particular team lost, but I'll let him address that if he wants to in a minute. Jim, the good news is here that after tomorrow's contest in Colorado and Minnesota and Missouri primary that doesn't really count, there will be a 3-week gap between contests, and I don't think there's another debate until February 22nd, so we can finally just relax a little bit, let the mudslinging perhaps fade to the background. Maybe it won't. At least we get a little bit of a break from what had gotten to be a little bit monotonous in the last week or so here in the Republican campaign.
Yeah, a couple things to keep in mind. I mean, you notice that the poll numbers out this morning, the Washington Post show Obama ahead of everybody, ahead of Romney by 6 points, and ahead by wider margins amongst the rest of the GOP field. Worth noting, it's registered voters, not likely voters, so it may not be quite as dire as that poll would suggest, but there's a certain perspective amongst a bunch of Republicans, and I'm starting to come around to this this viewpoint, that this has not always been a helpful primary season. We all know the saying, you know, politics ain't beanbag. But I do like the metaphor that Peggy Noonan said of it being the Indy 500 of clown cars, and they're smashing into the wall, and there are clowns flying all across the track. That's kind of what this has felt like at times. And so if you feel like the constant, you know, negativity of the candidates beating each other's brains in has not been good for any of the candidates, not been good for the Republican brand, not been good for the conservative message, then maybe it's time to put the spotlight back on Obama and not just in this hooray, I'll promise everything to everybody State of the Union format. I think this will be an interesting kind of, you know, pause button on this campaign season. Newt Gingrich might complain that there's not enough debates, but you know what? Here we go. You know, this is an opportunity for candidates to make news outside of debates and outside of whoever's winning on any particular primary night. Tomorrow night we'll have Colorado and Minnesota vote. My understanding is that Colorado looks pretty solid for Romney, but that Minnesota looks like Santorum is currently up a little bit. You know, maybe Santorum gets some momentum out of that. But the idea being that we're not in this preset mainstream media organized format for the candidates to make news and get their message across. Show us what you can do, guys. If you feel like you've been on this marathon, there's a little bit of a pause here. It's a kind of a chance to catch your breath. And if you have, if you want to adjust your message or refine your sales pitch to the Republican electorate, go for it. I don't think any of these candidates are going to drop out after Tuesday night. I think they've all made the point that they don't intend to until things are really, really dire for them. So let's see what you got, fellas. You know, the breather is coming. Time to refine and adjust your tactics for pitching yourself to the Republican electorate. Because as we see in the second martini, nobody has any big reason to break out the party hats yet.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And I really like your point about giving the president a chance to be back in the spotlight and remind everyone why he needs to be defeated later this year. I'm sure he won't disappoint. He certainly didn't disappoint in the NBC interview last night. But as you mentioned, the bad martini and the crazy martini come from the Nevada caucus. But one at a time. The bad martini is that, you know, Jim, you and I were shaking our heads that only 120,000 people showed up for the Iowa caucuses, the first in the nation caucuses, pretty much the same number that showed up in 2008. Nevada should have more than half the population, but just over 30,000 people showing up for these caucuses after all these campaigns put so much time and effort into it, at least in a short blitz following Florida. But some of them have been campaigning there even longer than that. Mitt Romney scores a huge win, and I don't think anybody's hugely surprised by that. But man, if you added up the dollars per person who showed up at a caucus, they can't be all that excited.
Yeah, and we'll have some more general garden variety caucus bashing in our third martini. But I just want to observe that it may be time to hit the panic button on the Republican turnout, because it was up slightly from the record in Iowa and New Hampshire, but both of those cases, it seemed to be driven by Ron Paul voters who are, let's say, not your traditional Republican voters. Some would say it's a good thing. Some would say it's a bad thing. Some would say these are not really folks who are going to vote Republican in November. They are very devoted to Ron Paul. Turnout was way up in South Carolina. So it's kind of a feather in Newt Gingrich's hat. It's not just that he won and won big, but he won when, you know, turnout was very, very high. Turnout was lower in Florida, which was kind of surprising. Early voting had looked really good. In fact, you know, you kind of figured it was it more that there's going to be really big turnout, or just that the regular group of Republican voters were going to vote earlier, and it very much was that latter category. And a little surprising, I kind of figured it would peak, go past 2 million. And then Nevada, it's just baffling how low it is. And it's one of those things where, look, Greg, I'm really having a tough time imagining a scenario where you'd have a formula for better Republican turnout. I mean, it's, you know, the economy has been crappy for you know, three straight years. Obama is by and large every conservative's nightmare in the Oval Office. The foreign policy, economy, housing market. Nevada has a miserable housing market, high unemployment. I mean, you figure Nevada Republicans would be chomping at the bit and eager to make, you know, to pick somebody and just say, hey, and you get to go first. In other words, it's not even that these states would have be able to shrug their shoulders and say, why should I turn out? The decision's already been made. So this is a very, very troubling, you know, aspect of this this caucus. And I think it's now clear that something. We've talked about the flaws of all of these candidates. I think there's probably a good chunk of Republican voters out there who just don't feel any enthusiasm for any of these guys. So, guys, it is on you. You got to give, you know, it's not just, probably just, clearly it's not enough to talk about how bad Obama is. You got to give them some sort of reason to get excited about you. And at this point, it seems like a tall order for a bunch of these candidates.
A couple thoughts came to my mind. First of all, I'm pretty confident that the best shows that Wayne Newton and Celine Dion gave her on Saturday night, so that I'm sure it was competing for people's attention. And secondly, the polls, if you're going to devote a Saturday night and you're not voting for Mitt Romney, you like to think that your vote might make a difference, and every poll had him up close to 2-1. So I don't know if, compared to Iowa, where that was nip and tuck in a lot of polls, that just kept people away from participating because they didn't think they wanted to spend that much time in a race that had a foregone conclusion. But even if that's the case, the numbers should have been much better than what they were. So, yeah, whoever is the nominee needs to be able to motivate some people who haven't been showing up, who I think were expected to show up. So that is definitely a lot of work to be done. Okay, on to more caucus bashing. Jim, I know you were up relatively late, probably Saturday night, because, you know, it's Nevada. It's a Pacific Coast time zone. You got to wait for the polls to close out there. So it's about 10 o'clock or so on the East Coast. That's when all the TV coverage starts. And then the votes just trickled in and trickled in. And all of a sudden, we're maybe up to 8 or 9% 2 hours into this thing. Eventually get up to 18 or 19%. Everybody called it for Romney because all the exit polls showed that that would be the case. Doesn't turn out that until Monday morning, this morning, that they actually count all the votes. Even last night, 24 hours after the fact, there were only around 70 or 80% of the votes counted, and turns out there might have been some irregularities with the paper ballot counting that was going on. And Jim, I don't know about you, but this is 0 for 2. I think in 2016 we should just do all primaries and avoid ourselves the huge embarrassment of what the caucuses have done.
It is, and I kind of marvel at the defenders of the caucus system, because even heading into this cycle, there are, you know, folks like me were looking at this and saying, well, you know, you always have low turnout. You always require a much bigger time commitment from people who want to participate in these sorts of you know, this decision. It always makes, you know, can people get off work? What if they work nights? If they're parents, can they get sitters? I mean, there's all kinds of factors that go into this, as opposed to simply going to your polling place and casting a ballot for the person you prefer in a primary. Then you put that aside, and you end up with Iowa, in which they, you know, first, it was very, very close, and all right, sometimes that happens, but they ended up having to reverse themselves on who won, and oh, by the way, we lost a bunch of ballots, so we're going to say Santorum won, and we just hope that those missing ballot boxes didn't. I mean, like, it makes a mockery of the process. And then Nevada, look, guys, if you're going to have a Saturday primary, you better make sure all your volunteers want to work weekends, okay? I mean, you can't take time. Oh. And the other thing about the idea of who decided to have a weekend contest the weekend of Super Bowl Sunday in a state with huge gambling, you know, a baffling selection of timing and such. It makes absolutely ridiculous to get the results so slowly. Apparently, there are a couple of polling places where more ballots were cast than there were registered Republicans, which is not encouraging. This is now the second straight state that has made a laughing stock of itself. I'm kind of struggling to see anybody who would want to defend the caucus system after this cycle, because as you said, they're 0-2. We have a couple more coming up, and you just kind of figure this, whatever advantages there are, have long since deteriorated, and the possibility of things going wrong just seem egregious. This is time for Reince Priebus of the RNC to start kicking tush here and there and say, look, guys, get your stuff together, because this is, you know, the process of selecting a president we're talking about. This is no time for amateur hour, and that's what it looked like in Iowa, and it looks like even worse in New Hampshire.
Maybe this puts some credence into what Maine and Wyoming are doing. They actually budget for a week, and in Wyoming's case, 20 days, to actually count all their caucus votes. Maybe that's what everybody needs to do. And then at the end of every month, be like, oh, yeah, remember when you voted 3 weeks ago? Here's who won.
Surprise! You may already be a winner.
Jim, enjoy the Patriots' loss. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Happy Monday, everyone. See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.